I guess we can start with me, like Mr. Dennis, I just graduated from CU. I did communication and music. And, you know, over my senior year and with COVID and everything, it was just interesting just seeing, still being able to be in the classroom with masks. It was just hard, just kind of, you know, going through all that. And I think a lot of students, that touched their lives greatly. So coming into this new season, there's a lot of students who are just looking for answers. And I'm just so thankful that the Lord has called me to follow my dad's footsteps and continue in the ministry. And that's really the purpose of our church, is we're just out there on campus preaching the gospel to students, setting up Bible studies, developing relationships with students. And, you know, growing up in this atmosphere, it's, you know, it's just something to see how the Lord can take a person from one place to another and just completely transform them. So that's what we're doing at CU, just one student at a time, just preaching the gospel, telling people about Jesus and what he's done for them. And yeah, we've been doing that since 2008. And it's just incredible. And I know I've been touched a lot by that, just growing up watching college students live one way and then years later, they're just sold out for Jesus. So that's why I'm here, just sharing about that. If we could go a few little scriptures here. But if we could go to Luke 18. So the parable of the rich young ruler says, the ruler questioned him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness on your father and mother." And he said, "All these things I've kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack: sell all you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. Is it easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God?" Those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "The things that are impossible to people are possible to God." And being a student at CU and interacting with these people, and then here being part-time on campus right now, just preaching the gospel, that's a big one that I see a lot, is just a lot of young men and young women who are here to have a good time. They're here to party. They're here to get a good degree and just to go off in the world, make money. Their lives on the outside have all the appearance of just being rich and full. But then you just start talking to them and they're just so empty just because they're without the Lord. And that is one of the challenges I feel like at this campus, and I'm sure any college campus, but, you know, it's a prestigious school. And they, you know, there's lots of rich young rulers out there. And that's what we're after, is we're just going after those people who think they have their lives put together, who don't even know how much they need Jesus. And so that's one of the biggest strongholds I've seen, is just people who are put together and then they just don't realize how much they need Jesus. And, you know, you get mixed reception out there. Some like to, they hear the word and they believe it, and years later, they're still in our church, they're serving God just as much as they were when we started, if not more. And then there's others who mock us. I mean, obviously, there's people who don't want to hear the truth, but it's good. God is good, and just going out there preaching the gospel is one of the greatest things. For me personally, this has been my first semester going out there since graduating, and I just want to share a little bit about a couple guys who the Lord helped me meet. I want to start with this guy, Jackson. He met him on campus. He had his arm in a sling. I was like, "Oh, here's a guy I can pray for." And I was like, "Hey, man, can I pray for your arm? You know, it looks like you're hurting." He started opening up about, he's like, "It's crazy you stopped me. I literally just got back on campus and I've been thinking about all the stuff that's happened to me." He'd almost died in a motorcycle accident. And he's just gotten, his background is crazy. He's gotten into a whole lot of different things apart from God. But he grew up knowing about Jesus. And so we just started talking, and he just started opening up about how he wants to know the truth. And we've been meeting the last couple of weeks, and he's just starting to get free, starting to realize what he's done in the past and how much he needs the Lord. And it was just amazing, because I was literally walking on campus that day. I'm like, "Boy, I need to meet someone who, you know, is searching for you. I need to meet someone who's soft-hearted and wants to hear it. And 30 seconds later, I stopped him. And so that's why I'm out there, is I meet guys like Jackson who just need the Lord, who need his forgiveness. Another guy I met is this guy, Shepherd, who I was just on campus one evening, just walking around looking for people to talk to. And I walk over there and there's this guy just sitting there and he looks kind of like he's working through things. And so I stopped, I'm like, hey man, I just want to check on you. You know, I'm a minister of the church. He's like, it's crazy, stop me. I've been going through so much. My dad died, I have all these issues. And I'm literally trying to, I'm listening to a sermon about how someone can be saved and come to know the Lord. And so I just shared the gospel with him and he really expressed a desire to continue living for the Lord, or to live for the Lord. And he texted me that night. He was like, man, I'm so glad he stopped me. I know I need to live right for God. And you know, after that, we kind of lost touch for a little bit, but I ran into him the other day. He's still just working through what it means to be a Christian and just still figuring things out. But we're grabbing lunch again this weekend just because he's like, I know he's still working through. He's like, I know this is what I need. I need to figure this out. I need to figure out who Jesus is and how to do that. So those are just two guys just in these first couple of weeks of the semester who the Lord has given me the privilege to meet. And so that's what I want to do just continually, is just to go out there on the campus and just to continue to preach the gospel. Because that's it says in Corinthians, you know, the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. And so, you know, you go out on the campus and there's all these people who dismiss you. There's these people who mock you. But then there are the people like Jackson and Shepherd who they're looking for the power of God. And so that makes all the other stuff just kind of fade away when you know there are people like that on this campus who are just desperate for the Lord, or desperate for answers. And another testimony, there's a girl in our church named Torshana. She came to know the Lord as a student. She's still a student there, but she's been a part of our church, and she, you know, helps out with a lot of other, you know, a lot of things with students. And she came around, her little brother started coming around too. He's in high school, but he started coming and he ended up giving his life to Jesus. Yeah. And then their mom started coming to our church. So you just have this aspect of, you know, one student gets born again and then the whole family just starts coming into the kingdom of God and, you know, fulfilling all that he has for them. So that's what we do, is we just go out and try to find those people just through walking on campus for hours a day, preaching the gospel, build a relationship with someone, set up Bible studies, bring them to church. And it's just continually just witnessing to them. And, you know, like I said earlier, the college students have such potential, particularly here at CU. Some of my best friends who've come to the Lord are some of the smartest people I know, and they're students at CU. And it's just like, man, if you can get the gospel into their hearts, the things they can do for the kingdom of God are just limitless. So that's who we're going after. And, you know, it's, like I said, just it seems impossible at times, but then you just find the people who God has just been at work on. And it's just incredible. And if we could go to Matthew 13, just want to touch base on that real quick. Sure, many of you are familiar with this. I'm so thankful that guys like you exist here in the city, just praying for the city, praying for the campus, because, man, Boulder is such a dark, godless place, and it needs Jesus. This is a parable of the sower, and Jesus said, behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. When the sun risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered and fell away. Others fell among the thorns, and they were choked up. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30. And, you know, that's just the beauty of the power of the gospel, I feel, is, you know, especially in Boulder, you go and you sow the seed, and there are good hearts on that campus. There are hearts that God has prepared to receive the gospel. So that's, again, just who we're going for, is the people who are searching, who are looking, and we just trust God that he'll lead us to them. And just to wrap up, we go to Luke 5. Apologize. Again, you guys are familiar with this one, but the story of the prodigal son, A man had two sons. The younger of them said, "Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me." So he divided his wealth between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.'" So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, and ran and embraced and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against you and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." The father said to his slave, quickly bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf, kill it, and let's eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." And they began to celebrate. It's just similar to the rich young ruler. There are so many prodigals on that campus. For me particularly, I meet people like that who it's like, I grew up knowing about Jesus, and then I just left. And like it says here, squandered his estate on loose living. That is certainly skew Boulder. I'm sure many of you are familiar. It's a big party school. People just come to live like hell and have a good time doing it. And then they just find that empties them. So that just empties them. And I can tell you that's what, with this guy Jackson, that's really what his story has been, is he's just come back. He has gone out and just tried to live his own way. And yet here he is, he's come back to where he started with his faith in God. And same with Shepherd. Shepherd grew up, you know, having a dad who sowed into his life. And, you know, now he's just still trying to figure out, like, what is it? Like, coming back to the Father, coming back to, you know, the things that were sown into him. And so it's just amazing just to see how God works with seeds that have been sown in people's hearts on that campus, people who were sown the seed in their hearts, and just to see that come alive is just an incredible thing. And so I don't have a whole lot of material today. I just wanted to share with you guys what we do. But that's just what we're doing one student at a time, bringing people to the Lord. And I know you guys, like Mr. Dennis said, you guys are prayer warriors. I know you guys pray a lot for this campus. So if you wouldn't mind, if I could just pray with you guys as a campus. And I guess before I do that, one of the reasons I'm here is, you know, I'm trying to develop a partnership team. Through prayers and through finances that would allow me to be on campus full time doing this, preaching the gospel. So if any of you are interested in that and hearing more about that, I'll be around after this. You can talk to me. And if that's something you are interested in learning more about, just let me know and we can talk. But yeah, if I could just end in prayer for the campus and for the city and have you guys join me, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're two or more gathered in your name, you are in their midst. And Lord, we just come together under your name and we ask, Lord, for salvation over the CU Boulder campus. Lord, for all of the students who are lost, who are prodigals, who are rich young rulers, Lord, but they have a seed in their heart. Lord, we pray that that seed would begin to bear fruit. Lord, that that seed would come alive in their heart. Lord, as they live in rejection of you and your truth, that they would just sense the emptiness and the loneliness that causes, Lord, the wages of sin, that is death. And Lord, we thank you that you are a God of resurrection. Lord, you bring dead things to life. And so we just cry out to you this morning, Lord, for the students there, those who are dead, that they would come back to life, that they would come back to the Father, or that they would sell all they have, Lord, and follow you, that they would follow you with their whole hearts. We thank you for the work that you're doing. I thank you, Lord, for the men in this room and their heart for you and for your gospel. I just pray that you bless them. And Lord, we just thank you for today and for all that you've done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
All right. Gospel on fire through the Lord. Praise God. Thank you for what you're doing on campus. I want, for those of us that aren't aware, can you tell us just briefly about Resurrection Church? where it's at and.
Yeah, so we meet right now in the Millennium Harvest. Oh, so you want me to have a mic on?
This isn't a college crowd.
So when we originally started in 2008, we met on campus in one of the classrooms there. We kind of outgrew that. But right now we meet at the Millennium Harvest Hotel, which is now a ballroom. It's close to campus, so students can walk if they want to. But yeah, that's where we meet, and yeah, we just have our, you know, our Sunday service, and then so that's off campus, and just during the week we have Bible studies and just different things where we're just reaching out to students as much as we can.
Love it.
Hey, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
Just to be honest, can you give us your contact information and whatnot?
Yeah, actually, so I actually have a little more info about me. I have some resources in my car. If you guys like it, have all my contact info on there. So after this, I can go grab that and hand it out to whoever is interested if that works. Is that a serious question?
Back in April, we had a young man from the University of Colorado Springs, and he had this fine. These are called butt slips, so you might want to think about these. Those are good.
Praise the Lord. Matt did share two things with us. One was 95% of the college population are not believers, which I find pretty stunning. I don't know why, but I do. And 85% of our undergraduates have left the church during the transition to college. Those are some monster headwinds. So what that tells me is you have job security. Plenty to do.
I can only imagine how challenging it is to be in that environment trying to share the Josh, but I was just curious, and this come up in this group a few times of our kids that we've raised in the church, Christian kids, and talking about the prodigal that we've raised in our homes that we've sent off to school, and was just curious, have you ran across many kids that grew up in the church, grew up with Jesus, and they've lost their way and they're just out there enjoying that party life and the world and everything?
Yeah,
I know it's more common. Well, it's probably more common to run across those kids that are not familiar with Jesus. But for those, and so many of us are struggling today, we're sending our kids off to college knowing Jesus and fearing that once they get through with college, that's not going to be the same.
Right. No, I do run across a lot of kids who it's like, yeah, once college started, I just fell away. And yeah, I mean, it is funny. I noticed this semester, I'd see a lot of crosses on people's necks, and then I ask them, like, so do you believe in God? And they're like, well, I don't know. And so, yeah, I read that as a, you know, there are a lot of people like that. I'd say the amount of people who have grown up in the church and known about Jesus and the amount of people who have it, it's actually pretty close. I mean, out of the people I stop, that's really my heart, is to find people who grew up like me, you know, grew up in the church, and, you know, a lot of my generation, like you said, they go to college and they fall away. And so my heart is for them to bring them back just through my testimony, through the primary gospel. So it is something I run into quite a bit out there on the campus.
You made a comment about shepherds trying to live their own way to hard road to hoe. Well, they might learn something for sure. Thank you, Josh.